Our continuing series in the book of Galatians, we come to this particular portion scripture just to remind you again some context too. The context is simply this, is that Paul is defending the grace gospel. There were those who were referred to as Judaizers. The Judaizers were actually trying to put them back under the law, saying that, you know, if you really want to be a Christian, it's one thing believing in Jesus, that's okay. But if you really, really want to be a real Christian, then therefore you need to do these certain things that we as Jews had been doing for such a long time. Now, for many of those who were living in Galatia, that was totally alien. All they'd received was the grace gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through the mouth of Paul. And so it was sowing confusion into their hearts and minds, even to the point of when, on one occasion, Peter turned up at Antioch. Paul opposed him because his behavior was exactly the same as these Judaizers. He was saying one thing, but living another way. And so now we come to this point in our passage here in verses 15 to the end of this particular chapter, where Paul continues to explain to these Galatians and to you and I as well, the importance of all that we have in Christ Jesus, that we don't need to add into anything. On one particular occasion, Albert Einstein it was who was actually asked a question. And the question was simply this, what is the key to learning and intelligence? Einstein responded and he said this, keep asking questions. Keep asking questions. It's good to ask questions. It really, really is. So some years ago, there was a group of questions that were put forward. And the reason for this particular survey, people were asked what it is, that questions that you have in your mind that can help you to provide some form of security and stability in life. And these three sort of questions were sort of posed at them. How can I make best use of this situation? Whatever situation that you may be in, circumstances of life, whether it's good or bad, how can I make the best of it? The second question was, what boundaries do I need to establish so that I can feel safe and secure? And thirdly, what can I do every day to see that I feel like I'm making a difference? All three good questions from a human perspective. But there's one question to ask, and it's the question that is the most important question that each and every one of us needs to ask, and it's this, how can a sinful person like you or I be forever right with the holy God so that when the end of days come, we can know that we can be in heaven, that we can be with him? Now that's a question to ask, isn't it? There was a man in Philippi who was so desperate to know the answer to that question that he was prepared to kill himself. Remember the story? There's no question that there is a more important question than that. The answer to that question will give such a security, will give such a foundation for living that will last forever into eternity. Galatians 2 verse 15 to 21 that we've just read are some of the most important verses in the Bible. It is the first occasion that we're introduced to this word justification or justified by faith. I say that because remember that more than likely this was Paul's first letter. And it was Paul who introduced the doctrine of justification by grace. And so for those who were listening to this letter, this doctrine, this truth may well have been a new concept for you and I. We know these truths. I hope we do. And if we don't, I hope by the end of this morning we know these truths. And we know where we stand before a holy God. These also were verses that helped to set free Martin Luther from the religious bondage and fear that he was in. He said that this is the principal answer to all Christian doctrine. It is the answer to this very question, how can sin, a sinful man like me, be made right with a holy God? And do you know what the text gives us that answer? It gives us the answer to freedom in Christ Jesus. The answer to how can a sinner like me is be free and be holy, or be blameless before a holy God, is that just shall live by faith in Christ alone. That's it. Simple. It's all in what Christ has done. The question to this answer is so important that there have been three New Testament books which have been dedicated to helping God's people understand that. Not only the book of Galatians, but Romans and the book of Hebrews as well. All works of fantastic faith. And so the primary point for us this morning is simply this. That the only way to be right with a holy God is by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the pure grace of God. That's who he is. So with all that said, let's pray. Father, as we've reflected with the children this morning, it's amazing to consider that we should be considered special in your eyes. Father, we praise and thank you that you have so loved us, that you have sent your only Son, that he would die for us, so that we could know you, so that we may be made right before you, a holy God. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful truth, Lord, and as we delve into it this morning, we pray that you would cause our hearts to delight in all that we have in Christ Jesus. That these verses, these passages would strengthen us in our most holy faith. But also, Father, there may be some here this morning that are unsure of their position. We pray as we consider this truth this morning, that you would work by the power of your Holy Spirit in a way that only you can, that you would reveal yourself to our hearts. That each and every one of us would go away from this place this day, knowing that we've been justified through Christ Jesus. Help each and every one of us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Folks, we need to know this, that the only means of being saved is by faith alone in Christ alone. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves from the sin that we know that we've done by relying on anything that is of us. Whether you're dead clever, and some of you are. Some of you are dead brilliant. Just as Richard mentioned, some of you are so gifted, so talented. But our talents, our abilities cannot save us. Do you know, we can't be saved also by relying on the church. Relying maybe even on religious experiences. Some of us have been part of church for many, many years, gone to different fellowships before you came here. Some of you have maybe gone through all those different rituals that are part of churchianity. You've been baptized, you've been confirmed, you've done all those right things. But those rituals that you've gone through will never, ever give you salvation. There's only one way of salvation, and that is to be totally and completely rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. And that is the only way also that you can be provided with security in this life, but also for eternity to come as well. That's a nice thought, isn't it? Once the bulb goes on in your heart and mind, once the Holy Spirit does something in your heart to reveal this truth to you, then you have such a security, such an assurance that you're on your way to heaven. Have we all got that this morning? Or at least do we all desire to have that? Paul, in these most important verses, develops five important theological themes to help the Galatians and to help us to understand that. The first thing is this, is seen there in verse 15. Paul and the others were self-righteous religious law keepers by nature. Look what it says. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. The doctrine of pure grace is always going to come under attack by those who, by nature, oppose the truth of this teaching. Men are born with a nature that rebels against God and against the grace of God shown through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was one of them. So was Barnabas, so was Peter, so was James, so was John, all of these Jews. They were born Jews and they had a nature to rebel against God's gift. Why? Because they were so religious. They were caught up with their religious ways and doings of things. And you know what? They were dead proud in it as well. Jews believed that they would automatically be right with God. Why? Because of their religious background, because of their law keeping, because as on one occasion they said to the Lord Jesus Christ in John 8, don't you realize we don't need to believe in you because we are sons of Abraham? The Jewish religion is a religion of the Old Testament, the Torah. It's religion of lots of laws, not just 10 commandments, but within there, there's 613 commandments that they had to keep, whether it was different dietary laws or things that they could wear or couldn't wear, how far they could travel on the Sabbath. There were so many laws that they had to keep. Do you know what the truth of the fact is if they didn't have enough laws, they actually then wrote their own laws to explain the laws that they had to keep as well. They were proud law keepers. The Gentiles were considered to be a bunch of unclean sinners by the Jews because they didn't keep the law. In fact, they didn't even try to any attempt to keep the law. Those Jews were gifted to spotting sin in the Gentiles, and that's why these Judaizers had a real problem with these Christians, these Gentiles coming to know Christ as their Savior. Hang on, he's our Messiah. How can we go through all these ritual things and then discover Jesus and you don't have to? No, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to go through all those things they were saying. Such was their pride. And so Paul's point here in this verse, verse 4 is in verse 15, is that we were by nature the most religious people on the face of the earth. We were Jewish. We had a remarkable history with God. We were devoted to God's law. But Paul came to know that none of these things made him right and made them right with God. To be right with God by keeping the law requires you to keep every single one of them. And as James said in James 2 verse 10, for whoever keeps the law, the whole law, and yet stumbles in just one of them, just one point of the law, then they are guilty of all of them. James knew, Paul knew, Peter knew that none of them could actually keep the law in order to be saved. Don't overlook that what it says there in Galatians 15, that by nature you love your works, you love your religion, you love yourself, by nature you are a heathen. I say that, folks, because sometimes we can be just like that. If we've been come from a religious background or a churchianity background, we can pride ourselves in all that has gone before. And also we can expect others who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in later years who haven't had the background, well, you've got to go through all that we went through. No. There's freedom in Christ Jesus now. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't need to put restrictions upon people. All we need to know is that faith comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's grace. Don't miss the flow of this. The real problem why most people won't end up in heaven is because they don't admit their need of a Savior. They will not admit their need of that they are sinners. You know, if we put ourselves, if we all get in a swimming pool and the object of the swimming lesson is just to get to the other side, some of you will get there quicker than me. I know you will. I float really well, let me tell you. Some of you who are strong, some of you are able, especially some of our children who go to swimming classes, they'll get there a lot quicker. Put us all out in the ocean and say, swim to the shore, we'll all drown. And on our own efforts, we are all drowning in sin. And that's why we need a Savior. And that's why God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might, through Him, in faith, be saved. Not your religion, not your past, not your doings, just by simple belief in Him. Secondly, you notice this as well in verse 16. Any man is justified by faith and not by keeping the law. This is what he emphasizes. No, that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too, Peter, James, all you others, all you Galatians, so we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one is justified. Psalmist David said an interesting thing in Psalm 40, 143 and verse 2. He said this, "Do not enter into judgment with thy servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous." In other words, what David was saying there is no man living is righteous in the sight of a holy God by what he does or by what he says. This is one of the most important points for us to grasp here, this point in verse 16. It's one of the most important points in the entire New Testament. And there's certain things that we need to understand, first of all, in verse 16, because I've heard it said on many occasions, what do I need to be to be saved? And the answer is nothing, because Jesus Christ has done it. Amen? However, and this is not me adding, we need to have the faith to believe. Now, faith is a gift from God, praise God, but look what it says there. We also need to know what we believe in. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law by faith. God expects us to know what we believe in. God expects us all to know that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved forever. Can you see the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus? In other words, there's no ifs or buts, there's no maybes. One of the sad things with every single religion is this, it says this, if I do this, if I do this, if I do that, and if I do that, then maybe at the end, I might just get to heaven. That's not Christian faith. Christian faith is this. Know that Christ has done it for you. Know what He has made, that He has made the way. That participle knowing is a perfect tense, which means God expects us to know the information that in some point in time and right now, all the way into the future, we have an assurance of knowing that we will be in eternity. Not ifs or buts. Why? Because of what Christ has done, because of His finished work. That's a lovely thought, that, isn't it? Do you know, nearly every Monday morning I want to leave the ministry because I think I'm a failure. You ask Suzanne, you ask Chloe. I don't think much of myself at all. And I want to leave the ministry and I want to become a bus driver. Because I think I'd be far better bus driver than the pastor, let me tell you. But I've never wanted to leave Jesus. From that first day I believed, I had such a knowledge, such a knowing that I've never wanted to deny my faith. Is that true for you? That's what Paul's saying here. You have such a knowing so that whatever comes along, whether there's Judaizers who come along and say, do you really think that's true? Don't you think you should be doing this? That you've got such a strong faith, not in yourself, but in what Jesus has done, that you don't wobble. Oh, you may wobble in your own direction and you wobble in what you think you can do and can't do, but you'll never ever wobble in what Christ has done. And that's what Paul is saying here. No. In other words, there is something you need to know and should know from the point in past that will take you all the way into the future. The second thing we observe there is that no man is justified by the works of the law. In other words, that word justified, which is a judicial term, it is a legal term used in the court of law. The word speaks of that judicial declaration that a judge makes that this person is now innocent. It's the same concept here in the scriptures. When a person is justified, it means that God has made a judicial decision to declare that person righteous, thus acquitting them of the guilt. But you know the incredible thing is about Jesus? Is that when we are made right in him, God forgets the sin in the past. Hallelujah. The record's still there. You know, if you stand before a judge and he says, okay, you're guilty, you might be guilty of that, you might not be guilty of this, but you're guilty of so many other things that you know about. I think one criminal actually said he was falsely accused and he was sent down for something that he hadn't done. And he said, are you not bothered about that? He said, no. He said, do you want to tell you how much I wasn't charged for? That I did get away with, I am guilty. But when we stand before a holy God, not only does he actually see us not as guiltless, free from sin, but our record is erased as well. That's good news, isn't it? Especially for some of us whose records are as long as our arm. To know that in Christ Jesus we've not just been forgiven, but our sins have been buried in the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the rest, from the west, Christ remembers them no more. He's put our sins away from us. Hallelujah. Justification in Bible always begins with God alone acting in pure grace. God justifies people despite their sin, despite their guilt and their rebellion. And God, not only does he justify them, he makes them clean in Christ Jesus. Paul says you need to always know this truth, that no man can ever be declared righteous by God through attempts of keeping the law. Only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third thing we observe in verse 16 as well, that every man who is declared righteous by God is justified by faith only in Christ Jesus. Every human needs to know this. God expects us to know this. There's only one way that God will ever declare a sinner righteous from the court of heaven, and that is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe in him in faith, how much faith do you need to believe in him? You've got to have massive faith. Absolutely, it's got to be humongous, hasn't it? Or is it what Jesus Christ said? Size of a mustard seed. See, it's not faith in faith. It's faith in who Jesus is. And that's the only way that we can be saved. Thirdly, if we are seeking to be justified by faith alone in Christ, see yourself and see the law for what it is, verse 17 through to 19. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroy, I prove that I am a law keeper. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live in God. I've got to say these are tricky verses, and in one sense, I should have taken these verses, just these two verses by or three verses by themselves, and we could have done a full expository series on them. There's an awful lot in what Paul is saying here, but Paul knew that some very religious person who kept the law would say, if we continually seek our justification in Christ Jesus and not by keeping the Old Testament law, then we are classified as sinners because we are not interested in keeping the law. And so therefore, what you're saying to us, Paul, is that believing in Jesus Christ, he himself then makes us a sinner. Is that correct? And Paul says, absolutely not. You've completely missed the point. May it never be. If a person seeks to be justified by faith in Christ Jesus and puts himself back under the law, all he will do is prove himself to be a sinner all over again. That's what Paul says. When Paul says in verse 19 that I died, he absolutely is talking about, he's not a physical death. It's death to the law, because all the law did is just prove that he was a sinner. When Paul says the law has shown me that I need to die to Christ in order, die to sin and to self in order that I may be alive in Christ. The law did not show that he was alive to God. In fact, the law showed the complete opposite. The law showed him that he was a transgressor and a sinner. No one can stand up and say, I have kept the law perfectly. And if you do, you've broken the ninth law. You've bore false witness. Because none of us can keep the law by ourselves. This is why we cannot seek to be justified in any other way except the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly and penultimately this morning, our righteousness before God is solely found in Christ Jesus. Amen. I have been crucified with Christ, so that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, one of the most incredible verses in the entire New Testament. Dr. Vernon McGee said this, that most who quote this particular verse do not know any more about it than what it actually means to be a goat grazing on the hillside. In other words, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross are not only a legal act in the mind of God, but it's not just that, it's also a substitutionary act. It's not only a demonstration of God's grace that we might be right, but it's a substitutionary act in the sense of whereby our sin were placed on Christ Jesus, just as his righteousness was placed on us. But I don't want you to miss something here, and it's an important thing that we need to read. Look what it says at the end of verse 19. Gave himself for me. This is an emphatic statement in the scripture, in the original Greek. Hooper and Moye is what it says there. And it's an emphatic statement so that all who were listening, so that you and I as well may know that Christ did it just for you. Does that not overwhelm you? How does it make you feel? That if it was only you, Christ would have come. In other words, in the mind of God, this is how he sees everyone who trusts only in the Son, in his Son for salvation. He sees the sin of that person nailed to the cross. The moment we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ came into your life, and now God sees Christ living in you. Hallelujah. That's how you were crucified. Not that you daily crucify yourself, put to death that which is. No. You trust in his work, that he was crucified. We don't crucify ourselves, because he's already been crucified for us. Jesus Christ went to the cross to nail that condemnatory law to it. The law that said you were a sinner, he nailed it to it, and he nailed your sin there as well. That's why Paul's so strong about this, because what he's saying, so if that's the truth, church at Galatia, if that's the truth, church at Homegate, if you then try and justify yourself by doing your own works, it's almost tantamount to slapping God in the face and saying, I just disrespect and dislike what you've done. Why would we do that? Why would we be like a dog who returns to its own vomit? And so disrespect all that God has done. Do you know, many religious people crucify themselves daily. But Christ was crucified for us. And the moment that we believe, we are justified by faith in him. Fifthly and finally, if you believe you can be right with God by keeping the law, you trample the grace of God. Verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for absolutely nothing. Folks, if righteousness can make you right with God, could be earned by keeping the law, there are two results. First is this: it nullifies the grace of God. That phrase, to set aside, it means to do away with something, to disregard something, to reject something. If a person believes that they can be right with God by their religious law keeping, by doing all those rituals, by being baptized as a child, by going to confirmation and believing all these, even being catechized, all those things that many of us have happened, if that was the way, then it nullifies the grace of God. But also, as Paul says here, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was needless. To actually believe that your law-keeping makes you right with God is a blasphemy to the precious work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ has done it all. You remember what he said? It is finished. The law says you do. Christ says, I did it. The law says you must finish your salvation. Christ said, it is finished. Do you know the most destructive danger of legalism is that it cancels out the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, the whole theme for this series in the book of Galatians is set free in Christ. If we have been set free in Christ, why do we then now heap legalism upon ourselves and legalism upon other people as well? We say we don't do that, folks. We do that often. We do that in our daily living. Because we sometimes feel, if I just do this more, then Christ will love me more. Folks, we can't make Christ love us any more than he already does. If we just do more of this, if we make sure that we do Sunday morning and evening and do the Bible study, wow, God must really love me then. But not only do we say that about ourselves, but we say it about others, but they don't. So clearly they haven't got as much of grace of God as folks. We do this, we do. And this is what Paul is saying, be careful that we don't heap on others. And in heaping on others, we nullify the grace of God that has set us free. Because if we do, it's like slapping Christ in the face. I know none of us would want to do that willingly. But there is a danger sometimes with our actions. The most important question you will ever ask is, what must I do to be saved? And the simple answer is this, that to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Question, have you been justified by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, are you trusting him for salvation this day? Him and him alone. Nothing else. Nothing of you, nothing of your past, nothing of your religiosity. Just him.